Greetings again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's Pastor Major H. Gilbert Sr. We're coming to you from Piney Hill Baptist Church here in Amherst, Virginia. We greet you in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God for you joining us this morning at our Sunday school hour. We thank God for your continued support of our ministry here. And we love to teach the Word of God, and the Word of God says that my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So we want to be able to continue to grow each and every day to that place where God wants us to be in our Christian walk. And in order for to do that, you got to get into the Word. So we do thank God for this Sunday school hour that we have here where we can focus on the Word of God. We got a beautiful lesson November 28th. First of all, I want to say thanks, happy Thanksgiving to each one of you. Hopefully that you had a wonderful time off, a few days but focus on giving God thanks for what he has done for you, in you, through you, and be able to be thankful for the many blessings that he has given unto us. So we had a beautiful Thanksgiving, and we thank God for family coming in. My daughter and grandkids came up from Newport News, so we thank God to have a little time with them to fellowship and to eat and have a good fellowship time together. So our lesson this week on November 28th, lesson 13, King James Version of our standard commentary. We're looking at this morning, good news for all. Our scripture this morning comes out of Acts 10th chapter, verses 34 through 47. Good news for all. Our lesson aims this morning, as we continue celebrating God and visions of praise, and we want to be able to summarize the welcome of the Gentiles, which is us, non-Jewish Christians, into the fellowship of Christ. And also we want to be able to explain and identify with the Gentiles in that regard. How do we know that we are part of that great family of God? And then have a role play of the evangelistic encounter with an unbeliever. How would you approach an unbeliever? How would you couch your language in order for to witness to an unbeliever? See, sometimes we can put salt on the wound rather than approaching them with the same grace and love and mercy that God approached us with. We have to season everything with kindness in order for to attract people to Christ. So we need to kind of rehearse that. You know, instead of telling them, you know, start talking about hell and start talking about, you need to amp down a little bit so that you can make them comfortable. That's why Jesus always met an individual where they were. If they were fishermen, he talked about fishing. If they were farmers, he talked about farmers. Wine dressers, he talked about that. He met people where they were to be able to first start off with conversation. See, you just can't start off telling them about they're lost. You got to be able to comfort them with a conversation first. And then come in and say, what's your relationship with Christ? So that's a whole lot more easy to have a conversation with somebody rather than when you're starting off the conversations talking about hell. Hell is real, but the thing is, you need to find a common ground first to approach somebody when you're witnessing to them, to especially an unbeliever. Amen. Approach them in a way where you can be able to have a dialogue with them, then come in with a witness of Jesus Christ. So we need to understand, when we are having an encounter with an unbeliever, there is a will, but there is also what? A way in order for us to meet them. So we want to look at that today. News, good news for all. Good news for all. Our key text this morning is that people opened his mouth and he said, oh, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So here we're going to see where he opened the doors up for all, not just the Jewish faith. Jesus came unto the house of Israel. I think I preached last week. He told a woman, should we give the bread for the house of Israel to dogs. So, and he found out, she said that even a dog is worthy of the crumbs
That's right.
that fall from the master's table. Can you imagine how packed our churches would be if we just offered the crumbs? Just offered the crumbs. The crumbs that falls from the master's table. So good news for all. Acts 10th chapter verses 34, 47. Our scripture said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, oh, the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but every nation that he fears him and worketh righteousness accepted by him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who he went about doing good and healing all that oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up on that third day and showed him openly, and not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. 43, and to him give all prophets witness, and through his name, whosoever shall believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many had came with Peter, because that of the Gentiles also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water to these that should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy and his righteous word. We understand that within the Jewish faith that Jesus came to share unto his own first, but the intent of the gospel was to be into all people. He had promised Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. And by that promise, he said that you would have a nation that outnumbers the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. And through that promise that he had made unto Abraham, that through Jesus Christ, now we are being able to be adopted into the family through our darling son, Jesus the Christ. We have that ability now to be part of this great family, the great family of God, whereby now we too can be ambassadors for him to be able to go out and let others know about Jesus Christ. So here in our introduction, we talked about still waiting. According to a Deaf Bible Society, they say only 2% of the people that are deaf worldwide have been introduced to the gospel. You know, that's amazing, ain't it? 2%. And then he says that because of that, they don't have the ability to hear and read and understand the Bible as we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Those deaf people are really dependent upon somebody else, or they need a Braille translation of the Bible. And they said that only a few Braille languages, over 400 sign languages are in the world today, and only a few have the ability to have that translation available to them. 2%, you know. And let's not talk about the spiritual deaf, you know, the spiritual blind. Whole lot of them, there'd probably be a whole lot percentage of them hadn't heard the gospel also. So we need to be about our Father's business, to go out and try to make available the word of God where everybody, he said, unto all nations. So if we're going to preach the gospel to all nations, they need the word. The word of God need to be available to them, because you Preaching is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Preaching is necessary, isn't it?
Amen.
But that word of God that you can read on your own, when you can eat at your own table, the word of God, it becomes life to you.
Amen.
And without it, I know it's good to hear something, but when you can witness it on your own, that becomes very meaningful in your own personal life. You know, but he says that in our lesson context this morning, this is a part of a story that Jesus is approaching and helping us to understand that as Peter was giving this discourse, that we are coming to the end of a great experience that Peter and Cornelius had. Peter was a little hesitant to be able to go out and spread the gospel to non-Jewish people. And Jesus gave him a vision. And the vision was that he had a sheet with four corners that came down and had all kinds of animals and unclean and clean. And he told him to partake of it. And Peter said that I ain't ate nothing unclean. You know, I've been holding my word to the Bible, to the Old Testament scriptures. I will not eat anything unclean. And then all of a sudden he had given Cornelius a vision that he would be able to meet Peter. So you had two visions that were heading toward the same destination. Mm-hmm. See, when Paul fell on his face by the experience that he had on the road to Damascus, and he told him to go to Ananias, didn't he? But Ananias also had a vision that Paul would be able to come to him. So God works in ways that when he sends you out as a messenger, he prepares the ground before you. Don't think you're going out there on your own. God has already been paving the way.
Amen.
He had paved the way for us to go out. And if we're going out to witness, just pray and ask God to prepare good ground, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just assume, but you going out and pray and ask God to prepare some good ground so that we'll be able to receive. So on that day of Pentecost, we know that the Holy Ghost fell upon many. They witnessed by speaking in other languages of all of those that were in Jerusalem for this great festival day. And here, as we look at our lesson today, we're going to see another great overflowing of the Holy Spirit that comes upon those who God is going to use. See, God don't overshadow you with the Holy Spirit for you to feel good. He overshadow you with the Holy Spirit to appoint you to a task and to prepare you for some work that you got to do in your life, in your Christian walk. So as we look at our study, we want to look at, first of all, Peter's message. Peter's message. God's invitation to the Gentiles. That's our subtopic. Verses 10, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. But first of all, we want to look at 34 and 35. It said, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Or truth they perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him." He says that God has no respect of persons. Again, as we look back at Judaism, they had you had to be born a Jew to be a Jew. And then they had those who followed the faith but did not commit to the faith. Those were devout Jews. And then we had those that were non-Jew that followed the faith but committed to the faith. They were considered as proselyte Jews. So you had Jews that were committed to the faith that were Jews. Then you had the devout Jews that came and they read and studied, but they hadn't made the commitment then. And how many do we have in our churches today? They're almost like devout Christians, ain't they? Really don't mind coming to church, love the experience, but they haven't made the what? Commitment yet, ain't it? So we have devout Christians that, but he is saying is that because of who God is, God has no respecter of persons. And he why doesn't he have that? Because he said he respects everyone that feareth him. Everyone that feareth him and that worketh in righteousness. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about how do you work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling? Not by works, but by faith. And then how do you work it out, though? You work it out by accepting Jesus Christ. And then you turn around and replant it. Accept Jesus Christ and replant it. It's reciprocal, ain't it? You don't have your faith to keep it and to put it as a monument upon a wall and put a plaque upon a wall that you can go back and look at it every now and then and be reminded, that's who I am. Your identity is not in a plaque. Your identity is not in a title. Your identity is, are you carrying out the commission that God has called us to do? So here we have to carry out the commission. We work righteousness. And he says that all of those that do that is accepted of him. Whether you Greek, Jew, bond or free, male or female, or whoever you are, if you are one that feareth him and one that worketh righteousness, you are accepted by him. God is trying to open up the doors to fulfill the promise that he made to Abraham by him being father of all nations, many nations. But he had to do that to get past the stigma. You know, we got stigmas, don't we? We got Baptist stigmas. We got Methodist stigmas. You know, we got Pentecostal stigmas. You know, and we got to get past that. We can't hesitate to spread the gospel because we got certain stigmas against certain people. Certain people you'll run to and testify just like that because you feel comfortable around them. But Christianity is not about being comfortable, is it?
That's right.
It's going outside of your comfort zone and to be able to. You know, can you imagine Paul? Can you imagine Ananias? Paul is being sent to a man that he probably would once try to kill himself.
Amen.
Then Ananias was asked to meet a man that was about to kill him. Now, how many of us would go to that point in our Christian walk? To be able to minister to somebody that hated us. Somebody that had a threat to us. But that's what we need to do, ain't it? Huh? If you stay in the comfort zone all the time, how many have been lost? We talk about the 2% of the deaf. But how many of us have been enemies to Christ? But somehow, somebody put a word. So, we're all enemies to Christ because we're what? Sinners, eh? We are enemies to Christ. But through that seed that somebody sowed into our lives, that took root. And now all of a sudden we become now in Christ. But our duty is to what? Sow that seed to someone else, ain't it? I like the old theory is what they call it now, paying forward.
Paying forward.
Paying forward. Stop it when hard is and somebody in front of you, you pay for it. You know, you bless somebody else because what? God is what?
Bless you.
Been a blessing unto you, ain't? We need to pay it forward sometime. Hey, don't wait till someone come and ask you about Christ. Pay it forward. You know, but like I said earlier, you got to be respectful in your language because you can drive people away by being harsh. Season it with grace. You know, don't season it with salt. Season it with grace so that you can be able to attract people. You got more than one thing. Don't think that you only have one chance to get this individual. You sow it, lay the groundwork. Then you come back. We talked about, I think I did it here once, the seven what's the word I'm looking for?
I know.
I got it on the tip of my tongue. We had a friends and family day. You got seven approaches to a person.
Uh-huh.
You invite them to come to church. You know, you offer them a ride to come to church. Then you pick them up and take them to church. And then after you take them back home, you call and say, did you have a wonderful time? Seven touches.
Yeah, seven touches.
Seven touches. And then you call them back, follow up another week later, and said, we enjoyed you having us in our presence in our worship service. You know, then you follow up again. So you do seven touches. They said, if you do seven touches, you'll gain a relationship. But we go out one time and hit it, and they reject us. And the first thing we do, we say, look, I ain't going back over there no more. Suppose God rejected you the first time. What about the third time? I'm glad God didn't give up on me, ain't it?
Amen.
He didn't give up on us. So we need to go out that way and understand that we need to understand God loves everyone. And that love that God has for everyone demands us to try, ain't it? To go out and to touch them wherever they are. When God touches you wherever you are, Jesus met you where you were. So you need to touch that individual where they are. God's invitation to the Jews, he said, the words which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, despite the nature of the audience, Peter did not hide the fact that Jesus' ministry focused almost exclusively on the children of Israel, but at the same time, Peter noted that Jesus was the Lord of all. He is the Lord of all. And the peace that he preached to the Jews, now he's coming. He said, this peace I give to you, ain't it? This peace I give to you. So he is to be able to bring peace. Look what our lesson said. By the context of Peter's sermon, it's also included peace between divided groups, Gentiles and Jews, that become possible through the common faith in Jesus Christ. That's why I said the stigma that we have between denominations. And it's about time for us to throw that stuff away, ain't it?
Yeah.
He's coming back looking for one church without spot or wrinkle. And that means that nobody got the ups on God, the ups on the Holy Spirit, the ups on worship, the ups on... Nobody has that. Because we're all one body in Christ. So he promised Abraham that he'd be a blessing to all nations. And the messenger of God's word, Jesus, came to fulfill that promise. And even the Old Testament promise had looked forward to the day that God will bring peace unto the whole world. Peter understood Jesus' fulfillment of that prophecy. But Jesus is the only way to have full peace with both God and your fellow man. Don't tell me you got peace in your heart for God. And he said, how can you love God when you've never seen him? But then your fellow man that you see every day, you got a problem with it. You know, and it's amazing, especially holidays, as we look at holidays, sometimes the worst stigma that we have during the holidays is family. Family coming home, supposedly for Christmas to come together, but all of a sudden when family come home for Christmas, everybody got a stigma, ain't it? Huh? You like her more than you like me, and I never was too close, and you got all these reasons why, hey, come home and celebrate Christmas. Why you got to bring all of that baggage? You know, leave all of that stuff. Don't put that under the tree. You come home with all that stuff and put it under the tree. Hey, look, you put it under the tree, somebody gonna get it. Huh? Gifts are under the tree, ain't it? You put all of that baggage under the tree, somebody gonna end up taking that baggage whack. Back on home with them. So you need to leave all that stuff alone. Verse 37 said, and that word, listen, he said that God's messenger gave them the word, didn't he? But then he said, that word I say unto you, which was published throughout all of Judea, began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached. See, this word phrase, indicates a certain level of prior knowledge of Peter's Gentile audience, and there still is more to learn. So Peter framed his teaching by setting those two reference points, one of geography, publishing throughout of all Judea, began from Galilee, and one chronology after the baptism of John. So once John preached unto baptism of forgiveness of sin, and all of a sudden, Jesus brought on a little bit more than that. You know, it was good what John preached, but that's all they knew. That's all they knew. They hadn't gotten the fulfillment of the gospel yet. But the thing is, I think one said that, I ain't never even heard of a Holy Ghost. He's baptized, and he said that he baptized with water, but one coming after me, you know, whose shoes that I'm not even worthy to latch, he's going to baptize you with
Holy Ghost and
fire. But we got to understand that it's more than just that baptism. You know, we hopefully going to baptize next Sunday, but there's more to that, ain't it? You know, I had a little candidate review that we did last Sunday, and I told Jeannie, I said, man, see, you need to not only take what I say, but we have our little new membership manual. You need to eat it and regurgitate that. You know, you can't just read the word like literature. You got to take it in, ain't it? You got to get that down in your gut. And every now and then you regurgitate it and chew it again, and then you'll be able to look at that word, and that word brings meaning. Every time you regurgitate the word, it brings what deeper meaning when you have an experience in your life. Isn't it amazing when you have an experience and somehow that word is regurgitated and it comes into your spirit, and now you see clearly what God meant. You know, he'll bring it back to your, that's what I mean by regurgitate. He'll bring the word back to your what?
Remembrance,
won't it? But that word has to be down inside of you. He said that word. That when you said that word, it's not talking about any word, ain't it? He's talking about a specific word, that gospel which Jesus preached. He said another way to say this is that the gospel of Jesus became a historical reality in both place and time. People said that they are agnostic, or they are atheists. Okay? And you ask them, what day is it? See, you can't even tell me the day without identifying Christ. They're atheists. But what's the day? The day is November the 28th. 2021 of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The date represents Him. You can't. I got this book by Jonathan Cahn. It's the Book of Mysteries. You know, he did the Harbinger, and he did. I got a couple more in my head, but I can't say it. But I like the Book of Mysteries. The Book of Mysteries is Jonathan Cahn is a Messianic Jew. He's a Jewish Christian. And he wrote the Book of Mysteries, and it's a 365-day journal. And he uses Hebrew words to help the non-Hebrew understand the validity of the Old Testament and the New Testament, how these words, you know, when we look at it, we name our children, we name them Tom, Dick, and Harry, you know. But in a Jewish, the name and the words mean something. And he came out with, I think it was the second or third lesson in the commentary. And he says, I am. All right. God identifies himself as what?
I am.
But how do you identify yourself? So if I ask Brother Douglas, I asked him, what are you doing now? And he said, well, I'm retired. So you can't answer yourself without identifying God. If I talked to Brother Minister Tinsley, he said, well, I am. So your identity is in God. No matter whether you believe him or not, when you start off identifying who you are, you say, I am. That also, that puts God in the front of everything.
I am.
A domestic engineer.
That's it.
Retired domestic engineer.
That's it too.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a store owner. You know? It helps us to identify Christ. So here we are saying that when we come in a relationship with Christ, you know, he becomes our identity. That word identified. Without that word, we wouldn't have the gospel. Without that word, we wouldn't have church. Mm-hmm. Because that word becomes the identifier of who we are. All right? Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth in the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. I struggle with this verse. Not because I know what he's trying to teach us, but I understand the Trinity. God anointed God. Y'all get it? God anointed God with God. Because God the Father anointed God the Son with God the Holy Spirit. And with power. And I said, man, that was deep, wasn't it? God anointed God. Yeah. And then he said that who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. And then I got a problem again. And God was with him. God with God. You know, God was with God. You know, I think they did this for us, didn't they? They did this for us. They didn't need this to identify who the Trinity was, but they did this so that we can understand it from human eyes. Because Emmanuel means what?
God with us.
God with us. So, and God was with him. And he says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Huh? So he wasn't trying to divide the Holy Trinity. He was trying to signify the significance of the Holy Trinity. How God anointed God the Son with God the Holy Spirit. And that's what I think we were talking on Facebook, Lou, and they were talking about experience. Experience is great. Having the Holy Spirit experience is great, isn't it? But having the Holy Spirit experience is not what God intended for us to that's all we're going to get out of it. Mm-hmm. If go back to that previous verse. If it don't cause you to fear him, it don't cause you to work in righteousness. That Holy Spirit is just an experience. See, God is more than an experience. When you have the Holy Spirit over you in your life, it should create change. Something should happen. I like the old song says, something on the what? Working on the
inside.
Huh? Something on the inside, working on the outside. See, Holy Spirit, when you have that Holy Spirit experience, something should happen in your life to represent. I like the alignment. I saw a signal back there. Have represent and the alignment with the Word of God, that Word. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit are not what contrary to one another. He said, and then once you have, why did I bring that up? Because of the fact that when you have that experience, the change identifies the power that's available. God will make me feel good, but he can't cause me to help me put to death some things that I should put to death in my life. So that means I got the experience, but I ain't got no what? That ain't biblical, is it? What it says right here, he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And wait a minute, once you get saved and you get anointed with the Holy Spirit and you get that power, what's your duty? 38b, should go about somewhere doing some good, eh? Healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Go out doing some good. Like I said, it's more than an experience. It's an expression of your life and how you should be doing if you are representing in alignment with what? That word of God. 38:9. As we are witnesses to all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Peter pressed to the heart of his ministry, having witnessed firsthand, indeed, witnesses that they saw how Jesus went about doing that good to the Jews and in Jerusalem. And then he points the finger directly to Jews. Who you hung on the tree?
No.
No. Hey, you all got a stigma against the word being preached to others outside of the Jewish faith. I don't want them in our church. But here you be the very one that hung him on the tree.
Yeah.
And then you're telling that I don't think the gospel shall be preached to anybody but us.
Man.
But now, but you the one that hung him on the tree. Our commentary said it won't the Romans. They just carried it out, ain't it?
Yep.
But who took him to the Romans? His own. But now they want to tell you where the gospel is to be preached. I don't feel like the gospel should be preached to them. He said, well, you hung him on the tree. That's kind of hard, ain't it? That's his home, man. That's his home. For him God raised up on the third day and showed himself openly. So here he is saying that he did not show himself to the masses, but he showed himself to those that had to carry that gospel out. He raised him up on that third day, giving him victory over sin, death, and the grave. But he showed himself openly. He said that he showed the resurrected Jesus openly, but Peter and others saw him the risen Christ themselves, you know, but certainly the resurrection, because God showed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, witness to many, so that those who were going carrying out the gospel wouldn't say, well, then it's just us. You know, it's just us. You, when you have the witnesses of many, that's why when he says when 2 to 3 come together. Because that means that you've met the requirements of the law. That it ain't just my word, eh?
There you go.
You got the word of many that witness it. But he said he didn't show himself not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God. Oh, can you imagine ministers Anthony and Clarissa? Can you imagine God chose you to be a witness? Not just anybody. Not saying that you are more than anybody else or less than anybody else. But when God chose you, that was special, wasn't it? Huh? When God chose me, when God chose you to be a disciple Not just a minister, but just a disciple. That's something special, ain't it? Huh? Because he could have chosen anybody. But why me? Yeah? Huh? Huh? Could have chosen anybody. But why me? You know? And I think we have to look back on that every now and then, ain't it? And it was not because of any goodness of my own. It was his grace, ain't it? And his mercy. He said, look what he said, though. Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. We become witnesses to him because we saw it with our own eyes. Look, you cannot tell me what the Lord has done for me because I witnessed it myself. I can't tell you what the Lord has done for you because I haven't witnessed it. But you've witnessed it for yourself. How far the Lord has brought you. Huh? And that's what's so easy about the gospel. Reverend Russell Lee, my pastor, he said, you don't know my story. The ease of the gospel is just to tell what? Your story. Huh? Tell your story. And you don't know the impact upon how many lives that'll touch you if you just tell what? Your story. You know? Family know. You know, they'll tell you quick what you used to be. But when God done worked this thing out in your life, and now they see what you used to be, and now they see who you are, and now they become now what? Witnesses. You know, to what God can do. Then Jesus commissioned. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that which was ordained of God to be the quick and the dead. See, our gospel is just to tell the old story. You know, tell that old story of how God allowed his darling son Jesus Christ to come down the cross. He said right here back, even for us, even for me, he came to die. So we don't have to create anything new. The gospel is old, but it don't get old. It's an old story, but it don't get old. It stays what? Fresh and new and rewarding each and every day. 43, to him give all the prophets witness, and through the name whosoever believes on him shall receive the remission of sin. That same story that Peter and Paul preached about, only thing we need to do is tell that same story, that Jesus came, you know, that he might bring what? Remissions of sin. You know, he died to put to death sin, death in the grave. Then the outcomes. 41, and Peter yet said these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. After hearing the message, the Gentiles might have been all have all types of questions, he says, but how could they be sure that Jesus was the Messiah? They could have doubted the message like many before, but before Peter could even finish speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and after further evidence was needed. And if any further evidence was needed, that was it. Once they heard the word and once they got the fulfilling of that Holy Spirit on them, they said that there's no doubt. No. When something happened in your life, when God has caused an experience to happen in your life, there's no doubt that I know, you know. God did it, ain't it? Hmm? It's no secret what God can do. What he done for others, he'll do for you. Huh? He said, with arms wide open, ain't it? He'll welcome you, ain't it? It's no secret what God can do. Once you know that you know that you know, you can witness for yourself. He said that once that Holy Ghost fell on them and they of the circumcision which had believed were astonished, and many who had come with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also poured out the gift of this Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. See, just because we're not part of that clique, or just because we've been stigmatized because of or we're Baptists, or we're Methodists, or we're this, or we're that, it doesn't mean anything. The Holy Spirit is available to all that do the work of righteousness by accepting Jesus Christ, and those that receive him to be your Lord and Savior. And then they heard them speak with tongues, and they magnified God. And then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water to these that should not be baptized, which had received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" They received the Spirit of God just like we did. What should hinder them from being baptized, huh? I remember Philip meeting the eunuch, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. So that means that he could have been a proselyte Jew. We don't know. The scripture didn't tell us, but the only thing I know is he was a eunuch under a king's command, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I understand except somebody show me?" See, our duty is once we are called, once we've been anointed, our duty is to go out and let others know. You know, they're struggling with trying. They come in my store and they said, "I need an easy read Bible." I said, "I don't care whether you got an ESV or whether you got a King James or whether you got a New King James or NIV or CEV or whether you got a Good News Bible, pray and ask God." Amen. So that your reading will have clarity. See, the translation ain't going to give you an understanding like that Holy Spirit will.
That's right.
Pray and ask God to let the Spirit speak to you so that you can read these words. The words will come alive off the pages when you have the Holy Spirit working in you. It'll be just words without the Holy Spirit. But once you pray and ask God to give you clarity and have that Holy Spirit, he's our what? Instructor. He's our comforter. He will guide us. Ain't that what Jesus said? He will send the Holy Spirit there to be our comforter, but also to instruct us and to what? Guide us through all understanding. So that's what we need. So conclusion, scope of his salvation is highlighted in today's pivotal text. When Gentiles receiving the overpouring of the Holy Spirit, just as the Jews did earlier, questions maintained regarding the role of identity of markers of God's people, markers such as circumcision and dietary laws and observance of special days would continue to play. But such questions were settled by the Jerusalem Council, and Peter and James, especially James. James was, because he was a pastor there at the church in Jerusalem, and he became so adamant about what? That non-Jewish Christians would have to follow the Mosaic law. But Moses came and, not Moses, Paul came and what? He argued. That's the burden that God put on us. That's not a burden for us to put on them. Because if you confess Jesus Christ with your mouth, then believe in your heart, and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he says that now you become what? Hey, you become now adopted into the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't have to fulfill the law of the Old Testament, because now I'm in the new covenant, which is under Jesus Christ. You know, he fulfilled everything that the Old Testament law required. Everything was fulfilled through him. So we have to that. So Jesus abolished the laws of the commandments, those ordinances, for to make in himself twain with one new man. But through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, Ephesians 2:1. So our prayer today is, Lord, it should not surprise us that you created for yourself a people from all humanity. Rid us of our tendency to set up walls within the body of Christ that your Spirit has already knocked down. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I talked about the stigma that we have, that sometimes we alienate people from having an open relationship with Christ, even in our own churches, because of the fact that we have so many stigmas that we put on that you can do this, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. But what Christ did, he freed us from all of that. And we don't need to try to follow somebody else's. You know, I think I like that one. They said, work out your own. I got to work out my salvation by your criteria. Huh? I got to work out my own salvation by your criteria. But he said, work out your own. With what? Reverence. Fear and trembling, revering the word of God. So we thank God for you joining us this morning. Beautiful lesson. God's now salvation is open to all people. Mm-hmm. And now we need to let somebody know about that. Be those advocates. Be those ambassadors, those witnesses that will go out and let somebody else know about what God has made available unto them. Because if he made it available to us, it's available for you. God bless you. May heaven ever smile upon you. Join us again on next week at our Sunday school hour. We thank God for you joining us, those who are piping in on our... Oh, I see one of my old work friends. Oh, God bless you. Mm-hmm. I see one of my minister's friends and some of my Hills Creek family. But God bless you all. And we just ask God to continue to bless you. And we'll continue to pray for your... blessings that God has in store for you, and just be still and wait till the fulfillment of the Spirit will come to show you how to do the work that God has assigned you to do. God bless you. May heaven ever smile upon you. Amen.